Kol Hazman. It's good all the time in Hebrew, just in case you don't know. And so we're going to have my wife pray in, and then we're going to get started on this message. And I'm just praying that God open your ears so that you can hear really clearly today, because our best days are ahead. Praise God.
Amen. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for today, dear Jesus. We thank you for this on fire message, dear Lord. I'm just blessed and excited. You gave it to Sandy early, dear Lord. So we're excited to see what you've done in developing it, dear Jesus, and speaking to and through him this afternoon, dear Lord. I'm praying over our hearts, dear Lord, that our hearts are bowed before your throne, open to receive what you have in store, dear Lord. Let it minister to us, dear Jesus. And let us do the next step by applying it in the name of Jesus. Yeah. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can have a seat. Praise the Lord. Everybody on YouTube, praise the Lord. Thank you for all the phone calls that I got this week, for the people that I talked to by phone this week. And also, our friend Lorraine, thank you, Pastor Ben, for remembering to, she asked me, did Pastor Ben give you your Father's Day? I was like, because Wednesday night we were like, we didn't really have that. We just went in the Word. But praise the Lord. I want to tell you guys a true story. And it's the story about how God called me to preach end time prophecy. It is, it was a dramatic morning and a dramatic day. And the only person that would agree with me was Pastor Ben. So he became my buddy for life.
Man.
In January 1st of 2003, I woke up and began studying the Bible, and picked up a little booklet and started studying and thinking about the fact about what I was teaching in the prison ministry, because at the time I was doing prison ministry. And it fascinated me that the nation of Israel had been born in 1948, and like no church had ever really talked about it at all, or the significance of what it has on the human race or anything like that. So I was in the prisons, and I'm telling everybody in the prison, Israel was born in 1948, and and that began a 70-year to 2018, and the church needed to be ready to go, and if we weren't ready to go, and so I was telling everybody, you know, in the prisons, like, this is a serious thing. Now, the other thing that I was doing was I had a friend that used to go into the prisons with me, and his name was Daniel Hood. And Daniel Hood had been shot in his lifetime, earlier in his life, had got shot. He was in a wheelchair when he went into the prison. And when he had got shot, he died and visited hell and went into hell. And then after he went into hell, the next day they called his parents and told him to come to the hospital, that their son was alive. Well, that was shocking to them, since the night before they pulled him out of the closet twice and he was dead. So Daniel began to tell them about, you know, what hell was like and his trip into hell. And so me and Daniel, we're going to the prison, and he's telling them about his experience. I'm telling them that you're living in the last days. And I'm telling them 2018 and January 1st, 2003, God told me, it's not 2018, you're wrong. And I was like, but it's 70 years, 1948, 2000, you know, 2018, that's 70 years. And God was like, no, it's not. You're telling them the wrong year. And so the Lord had me count 6,000 years in the Bible, and he showed me and guided me how to do it. And we started at Adam, and we just went to every birthday and every year until as we continue counting. And then I discovered something in the count that Abraham's father began having children in the 1948th year of mankind. So that, you know, solidified the 1948, and God said, well, continue counting. Then I realized that Jesus Christ was born 3,983rd year, which was 17 years before 4,000. So when I got to 2017, it was 6,000 years. And so I was like, wow, Lord, the world has a shorter time than they think. And the Lord said, yes, this is what I want you to preach. And it's going to be hard. Prepare my people to leave. You're not here to build a church. You're not here to have a mega church. You're not here to try to get on TBN. You're not here to be like TD Jakes or anybody like that. I want you to preach one thing and one thing only. And I try to preach on new stuff, believe me. But God says, that's not your job. My job is to tell you to prepare yourself to leave, okay? And the Lord is always impressed on me that what he wrote in the Bible, he did not write because he felt like writing a good story. Everything that's written in the Bible is written so that God can fulfill it, okay? So the Bible is going to be fulfilled. That means the book of Revelation is going to come true. That means that the whole world will be under the rulership of the Antichrist, and the whole world will take 666, and the church, the body of Christ, will not be here on the earth when all that happens, okay? So I know that church has not always told people the truth because they were building church.
Right.
And sometimes when you're making money, people care a little about people because they're making money. But the truth of the matter is, from Daniel, he was telling them, the truth of the matter is, after you leave here, there is another place to go. And Daniel was telling them the bad side. And I was trying to tell them the good side, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. So we're trying to get all these prisoners, and we're talking to them, and we're talking to them about reality. And the reality of life is, this one don't last forever. You are going to leave here, and you are going to live forever somewhere, okay?
Yep.
Rather it's in heaven or hell, it's up to the individual.
Right.
Because just like everybody that saw Noah building the ark, nobody had to believe that it was gonna rain. Okay, 8 people believed, 8 people left, and the rest came to the boat and said, hey, Noah, throw us a rope, okay? Right. But it was too late, because once the door is closed, the door is closed, okay? So this is the truth that God has given me to tell the world, okay? I love the fact that the mission that God gave me is not something I can do for the next 50 years. It had a beginning and it has an end, right? So now that we're getting toward the end of this, I want people to understand even more how important your life is to Jesus. It was so important that he came here and he died on the cross thinking about you. If I read Psalms 22, it says, he says, he died on the cross for all of those who would believe after he's gone, okay? So he didn't just die for the people that, he was thinking about you in the future, and that's why he endured the cross. He did not have to endure the cross. I want you to know that. When one of the apostles tried to protect him, what did he say? He said, put down your sword. Don't you know I could call legions of angels to rescue me if I wanted to?
Yeah.
He said, I could call legions. He says, what he was doing for the purpose of saving other people so that you wouldn't have to pay for your own sin. Okay? He that ascended, Jesus, said he also descended down into the lower parts of the earth and made an open spectacle of them. So Jesus is telling you, before I went up to heaven, I went down into the lower parts of the earth. And guess what? There's something going on down there. He said, there is where I had to release the captives and bring them out. I had to preach the gospel to those demons, take back the keys of life, and then be resurrected back up. So Jesus told you, before I went up, I went down. So he's telling you, there's another place.
Yes.
Okay? Anybody that's crazy enough to preach the gospel to try to make money off people is as nutty as a fruitcake.
Amen.
Because that is absolutely crazy.
Amen.
Like, I'm going to just make money off people and get rich in this life.
Ooh.
And then, like, you can take your Rolls Royce and your big church and all that to hell with you. You can't do it. So just do what God says. Preach the gospel. Help people.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Amen.
You can imagine Jesus going, yeah, well, you know, I want to go to Damascus and preach, but I need a Rolls Royce. That's not God, right? It doesn't exist. But that's what we got caught into.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a weird pastor, because I'm telling you the truth. And if you've been lied to all your life, then everything sound like, oh, this don't sound like church. He's supposed to be, you know, telling us about getting our breakthrough and telling us about, you know, that's what he's supposed to be telling us. And, you know, bring a couple of people up and do a little drop, hit them on the head, make them fall down, and everybody will think you're powerful. And then the tide will go up, and then you can finally get that Rolls Royce and hang out with the other goons. And that's not what this is about.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to prepare you for is real, okay? So I'm trying to give you proof so you understand that it's real, okay?
Amen.
All right. Not yet. We're going to go to the book of Matthew first. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to go to verse 32. Matthew 24, verse 32. Somebody say, Pastor Sandy, how you going to read with no glasses on?
Pastor Sandy, how you going to read with no glasses on?
Thank you for reminding me.
I got a spare pair.
I'm telling you. Now. Sometimes things make me want to cry. Like, will they believe me? Will they do what you say, what you tell them? Will they understand that what I'm reading to you is reality? Or will they get caught up in life and just, you know, end up in the wrong place with other people? Now, you're in Matthew chapter 24.
Amen.
You're in verse 32. And here it says, now learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So he starts talking about this parable of a fig tree. And if you've only read the New Testament, you won't know what he's talking about when he's talking about the fig tree. Because the fig tree that he's talking about is the nation of Israel. Now, listen, because I want you guys to fully understand this. After he starts, after he explains this fig tree generation thing, because he's telling you this generation will not pass until you see it, he starts talking about this. He says, no man knows the day or the hour, the day or the hour, not even the angels. It says, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in one place. One man will be taken, the other man left. Okay? So now, stop and ask your question. Is that something that's going to happen, or did God just feel like writing a cool story? It's going to happen. These words are written so that prophecy can come true. And this one experience in our lifetime. So now, two men will be in one place. One will be taken, the Greek word peralambano, as a friend or a companion of God, and the other one left, meaning I've just divorced you. Okay? So he's telling you something that's going to happen. Your reality cannot be just earth. Your reality has to be in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that's telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Then it says, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So it's telling you that an event is coming in the earth realm, that a trumpet is going to blow. Two people will be standing. One will be taken. The other one will be left. The other one being left is being left to experience what? Tribulation. Because the world will enter into tribulation. How do we know? Because God wrote it, and he did not write the Bible to write stories. He wrote the Bible to tell you what's going to happen. It's amazing that Revelation 13 says his number is 666. And then on the vaccine that they give you, the number is 060606. But we don't think that the Bible is coming true. We think that, you know, this is a book of fairy tales and it's not going to affect us. Live your life, but live your life in the confidence of Jesus Christ. But understand, God's story has to be complete and is not dependent on whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
Okay, so he begins talking about the fig tree. And you need to know that the fig tree is Israel, and Israel was rebirthed in 1948. Because when you entered the fig tree generation, you entered into the Lador HaAcharon, or the last generation, yeah. Okay? Now, the Lord said we're not ready for that yet. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 24, and I am going to start at verse 3. It says, the Lord asked me, what do you see, Jeremiah? Figs, I answered. The good ones are very good, but the poor ones are so bad that they cannot be eaten. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah. Are the people from Judah Jews and Hebrews? Yes. So he's saying these figs that I am talking to are like these good figs I regard as the exiles from Judah, Israel, the nation, right? Whom I sent away from this place to the land of Babylon. My eye will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this place. Did they come back to Israel? Yes. When did they come back? 1948. Okay? I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, and they will return to me with all their heart. But the poor figs, which are so bad they cannot be eaten, says the Lord, so I will deal with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his officials and survivors from Jerusalem, whether they are remain in the land or live in Egypt. Because they were threatening to go to Egypt. Here, let's go. Okay. So he says, I will make them a whoredom and an offense to the kingdoms of the earth, a reproach and a byword, an object of ridicule, cursing. Wherever I banish them, I will send the sword of famine and plague against them until they are destroyed for the land I gave to them, from the land I gave to them and their fathers. So Israel gets kicked out of the land, and he says, you will not be back into the land. He's going to destroy it. He's going to start a punishment with the nation of Israel. They're gone out of this nation for 2,520 years. The Bible had already knew they would come back in 1948. When they came back in 1948, Jesus says, when you see this, go and tell it to the last generation, because now the whole world will be in the last generation. And so now that we've been in the last generation since Israel came back in 1948, now the process of them bringing them back, did he punish them like he said he would? Did they go through the Holocaust? Did they go through being under the servitude of Babylon? Did they go under the servitude of the Greeks? Under the servitude of the Persians? Under the servitude of the Romans? When Jesus came, the Romans were ruling over them. So they were being punished all the time, and their punishment wasn't over. So then they went through the Holocaust, 6 million of them killed. And then after 3 years, the Holocaust was over. They came back to Jerusalem, back to Israel, and moved back into the land in the exact year that God said that what would happen from the beginning of the Bible. And so if God wrote a book for stories, he sure made that come true the exact way he said it would come true. Yeah. So these are the things that you're supposed to take to heart, because God didn't write the book just so it can have a good story. It's going to come true. Which side are you going to be on? Let me read Jeremiah chapter 25, because I want you to know you're in the same situation. Amen. Okay. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Joshua, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem, these 23 years the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not follow other gods. Do not worship them. Do not provoke the Lord, or do not provoke me to anger, God said, with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. What? God says, if you do what I say, I won't harm you. But God don't harm people. He's love. God's love, but he could be a bad dude.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So you have to understand, it's kind of like your parents, right? They are love. But if you know what a extension cord is, most of y'all don't, because now you go to jail for whipping kids.
Right.
My mother was love.
Mm-hmm.
Until she was a bad dude. So I want you to understand the person that you're supposed to fear is the one who made you, because heaven and hell, he went down and has the keys to both. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be on his side. This is what he says. I preach to you again and again. For 23 years, I came to you preaching again and again. Turn from your ways. Turn to God. Don't do those things. Don't worship other. Don't do what the world is doing. Do what God wants you to do. I came to you year after year, and God says, turn to me. And if you do right, I won't hurt you. I won't harm you if you do right.
Right.
But we think that, you know, God would never, you know, but God has is a also a God of judgment.
Yes.
And you have to understand this. The two in one place, one taken and the other left, is a time of separation, because one of them going to heaven and the other one's going to be judged. Okay? So you as a human being, I want you to imagine that you're living in the time of Noah. And Noah's like, the Lord told me to build a boat because a whole lot of water is coming. A lot of y'all are going to drown and die. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, God told me water is going to come out of the sky. Now, you got to remember, it hadn't rained. It never rained until this day, right? God, water's going to come out of the sky, and it's going to flood the whole earth, and all of you going to die. And the water is going to crush you. And so I'm telling you, I'm building this boat. There's the doors open, and he's going to leave the door open for everybody who believes me. You can come inside the door in the ark, and you can be saved from what I'm telling you is coming. And everybody in this room says, if he would have said that to me, I would have changed and I would have went inside the door. Mm-hmm. Would you have, really?
Really?
Or would you have been like, there's a crazy man over there building a boat talking about some rain coming out of the sky. Two's going to be taken, one's going to be taken, another one's left. Mm-hmm. He's nuts, right?
Right.
And so since you don't believe, now, because they all of those people did not believe him, did it stop it from raining?
Nope.
Did it stop him from his family being safe because they were on the ark? All I'm telling you is be in Christ so you can be safe, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get truth to people that have been lied to for so long. And it's hard to get truth to you because you live in the flesh and you live in the earth realm. You can't understand that there's another existence outside of earth. Even though you, through the Bible, he's prophesied and showed you that everything that he said, he's done.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I can go to the board, Pastor Ben, if you don't mind. Okay. So there are 66 books in the Bible. Perfectly 66 books, because there's 22 Hebrew letters, and 22, 22, and 22 is 66. Trinity, okay? If you count backwards from Revelation to the book of Psalms, there's 48 books. If you count forward from Genesis to Psalms, there's 19 books. In Psalms chapter 19, Psalms chapter 48, the 19th book, the 48th chapter, tells you about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Do you think God situated it that way, or do you think that just happened?
God.
Okay, so I'm saying, okay, let's forget about this one, okay? From the birth of Abraham till, from the birth of Adam, from the time God created Adam till Abraham's father began having children was 1948 years. What does Abraham represent? The nation of Israel, right? So there's another 1948 years. From the time of Jesus, who is called the second Adam, to Israel being rebirthed was 1948 years. The numeric value of Eve's name is 19, and the number of constellations in the stars that tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ is 1948. The generations are supposed to be 70 years, but God made a diversion in Psalm 90 verse 10 that says it is 70 years, but 80 because of their pride and their arrogance. Who's pride and arrogance?
Israel.
Because they want a savior, but they don't want it to be Jesus. Even to this very day, they don't even say the name Yeshua there, because that would be Jesus, which means he will save, or God's savior. They call him, the word that they say means, because I don't know if it's a curse word, I don't want to use it. But it means, may your name be erased from existence. Mm. So when they say Jesus' name in their language, those people who don't want Jesus, they say the acronym that means may his name be erased from existence. So they still hate Jesus. You understand? But they're back in the land, and they're still the centerpiece of the whole world because everybody wants to know what's going on in Israel. Okay? Now, so from 1948 to 2028 is the 80 years, and we'll read 90 verse 10 in a second. But seven of those years, the church is not here. The church is gone. So one is taken, the other one left, means that the church left and tribulation started. So seven of the years that lead up to 2028, the church is not in existence. So you have to figure out, and we all do, because this year is the hit of the count. This year is the prophecy in Psalms 121. This year is it. So we all get to see. I don't get to preach this forever. This is beautiful. After this year, all I can say is we all waiting, and nobody knows when. That's all I can say. But for now, all of the documents and scripture says 2021 is the year. So if you don't believe, fine. If you do believe and you come into Christ and it happens, great. If you don't believe and you don't come into Christ and it happens, I'll see you in 7 years, I hope. Hang in there. Hold on to your head. Don't get the mark. Because you don't really... Nicole, that's not nice. But one of the things that they're going to do to people that decide to believe in Jesus Christ during the tribulation is they will be beheaded because of their confession of Jesus Christ. So that's why I say hold on to your head. Because I'm telling you right now, God didn't write about the tribulation because he wanted to write a really scary novel. He's trying to tell humans what's going to happen. And you saw a vaccine come into existence this year that has the number 060606 and an ingredient called the Lucifer ingredient. But we still don't believe that Revelation chapter 13 is coming true because we are the people hanging outside of the boat going, you're a crazy man, we're in the desert, there's no water around, and you're building a boat. You're as crazy as Pastor Sandman, Noah. And so I'm trying to let you know, decision time is always now, okay? So make a decision. Make a decision. Okay, let's continue here. Let's go to Psalms chapter 90, verse 10. I'm going to go there also. I was going to read from my page, but I'm going to go there also so I can really. Now, one of the things the Lord told me is to learn Hebrew. It is hard to understand someone. It's hard to understand somebody when you don't understand their language. And it's hard to make up someone's language if you don't understand. They got slang words. You know what? Kavala Lesman means a waste of time in Hebrew. But if you want to say you had a really good time, you say Kavala Lesman. And so if you say that, they say, hey, how was it? You go Kavala Lesman. And that means a waste of time. But they know it means, oh, it was really good, right? So if you don't know my language, you'll think, oh, he didn't like it. It was a waste of time. But if they say that in Israel, they go, oh, she really had a good time. So it's like, you know, the black neighborhood. Oh, he bad, man. You don't want to mess with him.
Right.
Not on that court. That dude's bad. You mean he can't shoot? No, dude. He's going to slam on you, cross your ankles over, everything. Because we know bad means good, right? So you have to understand someone's language to understand what they're talking about. English don't always get a great translation, so they put the word that they think it means, okay? That's the problem with translations. Okay, let's read this. One of your friends, Israel, Pastor Ben, bothered me. All right, you're supposed to get rid of them. All right, here it says, the length of our days is 70 years. Or 80, if you have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Okay, so the length of our days is 70 years. 70 years is a generation. And then it says, or 80, but then they couldn't figure out what this word meant, so they said, or by their strength. Okay, but here's what it says in Hebrew. It says, the days of their years are 70 years or 80, if but by rahav, arrogance and pride. It'll be 80 years because of their arrogance and pride. Whose arrogance and pride?
Israel's.
Okay. And then it says labor, but that word is amal, which there will be trouble. And then avon is there'll be wickedness and sorrow. Okay, and it says, but it will soon be cut off and they will fly away. So God will rescue them at the end of the tribulation. But because of arrogance and pride, the 70 years was translated to what? 80 years. And Jesus Christ has promised that he will work that additional 7 years. For what purpose? So that he can gain Israel's love back and have a second marriage. Because the church is going to be the first.
Amen.
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 Let's continue here.
12 minutes.
That's good. Okay, now watch this. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. I'm just getting to the Bible study. What'd you say, Pastor Ben? Okay, now watch this. Okay, now watch. Adam and Eve sinned. God goes looking for them, and he finds them, right? And he tells them, you know, because of this sin, these are the punishments that you're going to receive. And Adam and Eve are there. God is like, you know, letting them know what they did was wrong. And then now they go out because now they're naked. Remember before, you know, they were covered in oil and ore or the light, okay? But now they're naked, or they can see their nakedness. So they go get fig leaves and try to cover themselves, okay? And then the scripture says, but God later went and covered them with the skin of an animal, and then now he made real clothes for them, okay? But first, they tried to use fig leaves and cover themselves.
Yep.
You guys see that what I'm saying?
Wow.
Now, if you say fig tree, in Israel, the numerical value of the letters is 616. If you say the Torah, in Hebrew, HaTorah, the numerical value is 616. So to God, The fig tree is Israel, and the fig tree is the Torah. So the nation of Israel is doing what? They're trying to cover their own sin with what? By using the Torah.
Yeah.
You can't, because the Torah doesn't have Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in it, you would have to have the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, to find out how to get saved now, because salvation is not by the law anymore. You can't do enough good things that are written in the Old Testament. Like, you can keep all 10 commandments and never accept Jesus and never end up in heaven.
Right.
You know why? Because the law can't save you anymore. That's why the Jews don't want Jesus, but they still want the Torah, and they still want to do good things. So they're trying to use the fig leaf to cover up their own sin, and they don't understand that God has to kill a lamb so that the lambskin can cover their sin. You understand? So from Genesis, God is referring to Israel using the fig leaves or the Torah to cover their own sin. You understand?
Amen.
So Israel being referred to as the fig tree started back in Genesis. Then in Jeremiah, he says, look at these figs. And then he shows you the fig tree there. Then Jesus, much later, comes along and says, now let me tell you the parable of the fig tree. When its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Do you know that the word the end and summer is the same pronunciation in Hebrew? Ketz and ketz. It's the same. He says, what do you see? To who was it? Ezekiel, Hosea? He said, what do you see? And he said, Anero Aketz. He said, that means early summer fruit. And he says, you have seen correctly, because Ketz is about to come upon Israel. And he used the same word. He says, the summer fruit and Ketz is the same word. Or summer and end is the same word. So for Jesus to say, you know that summer is near, when he's answering a question about when the end is going to be, is prevalent in the speech of the Hebrew as you understand it. So God is trying to let us know in many different ways, and it's my responsibility to let you know from Scripture that something is about to happen. Because I know, Pastor Ben knows, and whoever that was there, 9/11 knows this. That only scared us for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Everybody went to church for 2 weeks.
Man.
2020, no toilet paper, stores empty, people running crazy, mask, can't go to work. You're almost forgetting about it.
Yep.
Because I walked in the store the other day and put no mask on. I was like, hey. Because I walked in before and it was like, sir, you need a mask on. I was like, oh God, I gotta go back to the car. So I walk back and then I get a mask and I go back. But now, let me tell you, now it's gonna start wearing off. And then when the governor, because California's planning on giving y'all a check. Y'all don't know that, huh? They planning on giving y'all a check. And you're gonna go, oh, see, everything's back to normal, and they even gave me a check. It has nothing to do with the Bible. The Bible still has to be completed, even if you get a check. And there's plenty of toilet paper at the store.
Right. Right.
The Bible still got to be this. It's still going to be the same.
Yep.
Right.
So you have to know what time and dates that you're living in.
Yes.
And the time you're living in is Israel has already been rebirthed.
Right.
When they reached the 70th year, everybody thought this is it. Because the 80 years, we wanted to ignore it because we wanted to go. But we knew that it said 80 years.
Right.
And now that we're getting into 2021 and we're getting toward the last 7 years, and all of this stuff has happened in the 120th year, meaning that there was a worldwide judgment in the 120th year. When did that happen before? At Noah's time. There was a worldwide judgment in the 120th year. So the flood didn't start to stop. The flood started to continue. So now, as you're continuing in this process before the church leaves, don't get to thinking that it's going to stop raining and everything's going to be fine again, because that's not what they're planning.
That's right.
I saw on TV the other day several different news companies. Oh, there's some birds are dying in all these different counties in America, and we don't know what they're dying for. I was like, oh my God, they're going to set us up.
The Delta.
They're talking about all these birds, and they all say the same thing. You have to watch all these stations. They say the same. It's like they're a script. It's like, this is what you got to say, because we're trying to get the people ready for a new virus that comes from the birds, because the birds are dying and they're just falling out. So they're preparing you for something that's coming that's more, because they're really unhappy with people that don't want to get the shot.
Very unhappy.
They're really unhappy with us.
5 minutes past.
Because, so since they're unhappy with you, now a lady sent me a picture of her church. It said, It had sections with tags on it. This section said vaccinated, and it said unvaccinated. So in their church, they have a vaccinated section and an unvaccinated section.
Really?
In a church. Forget that Jesus is a healer.
Right.
Oh. I mean, can we get Benny Hinn in here and take down the signs? You know what I mean? Something. Right?
Oh,
but to me, it's like Pied Piper. They play and everybody just follows them into destruction. Okay? So we have to understand, look, you're living in the last days. Every one of you here, okay? So precious to God. He says you are a pearl without price. That means that you're so valuable to God, you can't name the price for you. He gave up a throne in heaven to come here so that he could pay the price for you, because there was no monetary value that could purchase you. So he said, I'll do it with my own blood, and I'll pay for all of their sins. And so you're so valuable that God did this for you. If you're in trouble, God will visit you. You have no idea. God will move in your situation because he loves you so much. So you guys have to understand what you're dealing with. God died for you to save you. Are you saved? Yes. What are you saved from? So many people don't even know. I'm saved. Saved from what? Because if you tell people the truth, they'll go, really? Oh, I'm saved for burning hot coals in hell, and from the tribulation in which they're going to cut people's heads off if they don't believe in Jesus. That's what you're saved from? How can I be saved? But you know what we tell them? I'm saved from forever being separated from God. And so they don't get it.
Right.
It's like, well, I want to be separated, because you can't listen to the music you want to if you're with God. Someone said, I'm going to be partying in hell, because there you can do what you want.
Really? Wow.
So nobody understands, right? Nobody really understands, because we haven't been on the other side unless you've been like Dan, you got shot and you were in the tunnel on your way to hell, right? Or you had a visitation in heaven, which I've had three, so it's easier for me to tell you there's something on the other side. Yeah, I'm telling you, the Lord keeps showing it to me that there's something on the other side. A lady who gave her testimony this morning I was listening to, and she died, and the Lord took her to both heaven and to hell. And she said when she went to heaven, she said, I was telling God, please don't make me go back to earth. Please don't make me go back. She was like, I don't want to go back. And the Lord said, well, let me show you another place before we make that decision. So he took her to a cliff and showed her hell. She said she looked down and she saw the torment of those that were in hell. And she said, She said, she looked at Jesus, she said, and he looked like he had agony for the people. And she said, Lord, what can we do for them? And he said, for them, you can't do anything. Their thing is sealed. But for people that are on earth, if you go back and preach and tell them to be ready, you could save some. And then she decided, okay, I'll go back. That was her testimony. We gotta be smart, you guys. Half the people that make your music are worshiping Satan. And they give you that music, and then now they got it underneath. You can go on any site and just listen to all the junk you want to. So it's like the whole world set up to make sin easier, okay? And so that means that the person that's in the body has to get into the Word, find out what God is doing, and then switch their thinking from being on Satan's side to being on God's side. You know what I mean? And then it says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. As a teenager, I was being transformed into the pattern of this world. Their music was my music. Their way of having fun was my way of having fun. If you don't have any alcohol, you don't have no weed, how are we going to have fun?
Right.
That was our situation growing up. Right. Oh, we're going to watch a movie, a Disney movie. Don't you know Boys in the Hood is out? You know, and Juice, all these crazy movies,
yeah.
Right? This white guy was telling me all the beautiful movies that he enjoyed when he was a kid. And he was naming all these Disney movies. I was like, we grew up in two completely different situations. Because I was watching Hitman and Juice we had so many filthy movies that they put out. And now this lady got a TV show on Friday night. They're re-showing all of the old filthy black movies.
Yeah,
all the filthy black movies that we used to watch. Because you were being brainwashed that this is the way you act, these are the things you do, conform to this way. You're going to have to think for yourself. You can walk away from God. That's what when I don't see people, I go, man, I hope they're still living for Jesus. Because you can walk away from God, but you don't have to. You got to think. Set your minds on things above. Set your heart on things above. Your life is hidden with Christ. You understand?
Yes.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God while you're here. And everything else you need will be added to you.
Yes.
Don't spend a day seeking your survival over seeking Christ.
Amen.
You say, oh, what job am I going? How am I going to make my money? How am I going to do it? You ain't even prayed or read nothing yet. But you all day, well, how am I going to make my money? I got to do this and I got to do that. And then I got to. God is like, you haven't even spent 1 minute just to pray about it or nothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then I'll add to you what you need for your life.
Yeah.
It's a simple process, right? I hope that I've made you understand God's been planning this for a long time, to the point that he's been orchestrating history. He knew the Holocaust was coming. He knew 1948 was coming. He knew 1967 was coming. He knew all these dates was coming, and he's orchestrated them all. The last prophecy we saw was Donald Trump announcing Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. It was in perfect timing to a jubilee.
Yeah.
If he hadn't said that, scripture would not have been fulfilled. He fulfilled scripture.
Yeah. Right.
And now, so it's still happening. A shot with 060606 on it comes in the 120th year. This stuff is prophecy coming true in front of your eyes. They're talking about no currency, only digital currency now. So all of this stuff is happening right in front of your eyes. So it should tell you, I got to get off of Satan's page and get on God's page and save my own soul by making a right decision. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.